Backseat Box Office, episode number 83 for the weekend of April 20th through the 22nd, 2012. Hey, this is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and this is Backseat Box Office.
No Tony this week.
No Tony. It's weird. It's we realized
really weird.
It took 83 episodes for him to miss one.
Well, there was that one call-in episode we all had, but
well, sure, that was more of a prank. The choice. I guess it was both. So Tony's MIA. He said he was in Colombia recently and there was some trouble and he had some issues to work out. So I don't know what that's all about, but yeah, we wish him the best.
If he'd have just packed some cash, he would have been all right.
I don't want to draw any conclusions. We'll let him explain next week, I think. leave Tony in your prayers and his family and hope they get through this hard time. But I guess I'm torn. Do you think we should do Axis and Allies first, or do you think we should talk about how he did last week first?
Oh, let's get Axis and Allies out of the way. That way people can skip it if they want.
Oh, do you know how many tweets and emails I get about how much people like Axis and Allies? Like a dozen a day.
I think you might be lying.
Or I may delusional. I may be exaggerating a touch. Just a hair.
How many of those involve people that aren't actively playing?
Three.
Ever. But, of all time.
Since we started round one to now, three. Yeah. That's probably close. So round five, I was playing Germany. Tad was my wingman in Japan. What were you playing there, Jonathan?
Russia.
Yes, you were in Russia. I can't remember. Was Rich the U.S.?
Rich was the U.S. and Tony was the U.K.
Right. So this game did not last long. In fact, we can always call this our round five summary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Around turn two or I want to say it was turn three, I found myself in Germany surrounded on all sides with no other territory to my name.
No, you had one.
Did I have like the Urals off like?
You had something in Africa.
Oh, great.
And about three UK troops surrounding it to ready to take it.
It's I don't know. I'll be honest. This happened on Saturday. I was really busy on Saturday. I looked at it on my phone. I sighed. I was like, there's no way I'm going to get out of this. And so I just went ahead and resigned and bowed my hat, my head, and I should guess I tipped the hat, bowed my head to my opponents and wished them a good game.
To be fair, that was pretty crazy. I mean, like you didn't take Karelia and then just Russia. I kind of swooped down on you. Like I don't think I have never seen nor heard of Russia just kind of taken over like that. So I don't know what the hell happened there.
Yeah. And you know, I did not spend enough time dissecting it to really be able to give a educated analysis of what happened there. Yeah. But it went bad is my short analysis. It went very bad. So it left Jonathan perfect 5 games out of 5. And as our faithful listeners might remember last week, I predicted that he would trounce me. Sure enough, the man trounced me.
Yeah. Now my question just is this, was that prophetic or just self-fulfilling prophecy?
Why can't it be both?
Did you bring it on yourself or?
I don't know. Again, I did not analyze it enough to really know tell. But after what you did to Tony in round four, I was like, he's Teflon. He's Superman, bitch. I don't have any kryptonite. So Yeah, that was about it. So I'm sorry. My apologies to Tad for letting him down in round five. And I went 3 for 5. I think Tad went 0 for 5. Sorry, buddy.
No, Tad was Russia. In I mean,
was he? Did he pick up a one at one point?
Yeah, when in the last game when I was UK and Tony was Germany. He was Russia. I don't know if it counts as a win when he had no territory.
It does. It's a team game.
It's a team game. We were about to bring him back in, so.
Right. You're right. Our way. And thanks to his win in the last round, Tony went 1 for 5.
Mm-hmm. 1 for 4. Or 1 of 5. Yeah,
one, never mind. 1 out of 5.
4 for 5. That's right.
Yeah. And then Rich.
They fail me sometimes.
Did Rich go 3 out of 4? Because he joined in second round.
Rich would have been...
I know he lost at least one.
So, because I was... because he was Germany when I was Japan.
Russia.
No, when I was Japan, he was Germany. So that would have been a win. And then we were on the same... He and I were on the same team at least twice. So that's another win. 2 wins. So he should be 3.
But after 5 straight games, I'm ready for a small break. But I just wanted to say thanks to everybody for playing with us. And I know that Rich, also known as Lachlan, LACHLAIN on Twitter, is getting another game going. So send emails or tweets his way. Or to any of us, really, because we're all kind of whores. I'm taking a small break, then I'll probably be getting back into it, too.
There you go.
All right. Now don't cry, dear listeners, but I think that's it for the Axis and Allies updates for a while. After 8 straight weeks, we're going to take a little break, I think. So, how we did last week. Jonathan, would you like to gloat?
No.
Will you gloat?
I can be gracious in my... overwhelming success.
Well, I don't see it as not being gracious. It's really more like a time-honored tradition here at Backseat Box Office. When you win, when you get a perfect 25, you show it off a little bit.
Well, yeah, but I think the thing that makes it better is I don't know about the tweets. I didn't follow the tweets, but it does look like Tad scored a 25 with me this week. That's still all right, though. Only one other person, as opposed to other weeks when it's like 23 people out of 24 have 25s. I feel like that's a pretty good accomplishment this week, huh?
Yeah, this week was a little more challenging than some other weeks.
Still a good week for most people. I mean, I'm seeing primarily 23s and 22s on the list, but...
Yeah, Mrs. Beast picked up a 16. She was at the bottom end of our range. So we range from 16 to 25. I don't have access to access.
Father Beast had 14.
Oh, he did. Yeah. I missed that. Yeah.
Father Beast got destroyed by his own daughter. So
go mentally.
Yeah, well done mentally.
Well, let me read off the 5 movies that you picked in the order you picked them.
I appreciate that. Thanks for doing that for me.
It's the least I can do. Actually, I guess the least I could do is nothing, but I'll go you one better and read them off. So the Hunger Games for its fourth straight week stayed at number one with $21.09 million. The Three Stooges somehow came in number two with $17 million. Cabin in the Woods came in at number three with $14.7 million. Josh Whedon's new thing. Titanic 3D fell to number four with $11.9 million. And the American Reunion somehow managed to hang in the top five despite losing 51% of its box office. It was down to $10.4 million. And that's about how it is. And that's how you picked it, Jonathan. You're perfect.
Damn, Skippy.
Tony and I both picked up 23s, but we did it slightly differently. Tony flip-flopped 4 and 5. He put a Reunion at number four, Titanic number five. 1 point each, 23. I switched Cabin in the Woods and the Three Stooges. Even though the Stooges were opening in way more theaters, I tried to have faith in the American public, and guess what? Shocker, they let me down. As the Three Stooges beat out the Cabin in the Woods by $2.3 million. So 1 point each, 23. And I don't think that this week is going. Well, let's say put it this way: I don't think the Hunger Games is going to hold on at number one for another week.
It seems unlikely.
Yes, we've got three new movies. I'm going to count Chimpanzee as a new movie.
That's okay.
I just don't, you know, it's opening in 1,500 theaters, which I think is enough to make it qualified as a wide release.
I guess that's true.
I don't think it's going to do well. It's the new Disney's movie. Anyone who's been to a kid's movie in the last year has probably seen the trailer. It's about these adorable chimpanzees. Documentary. They're cute. They're adorable. They do human-like things. I wouldn't mind taking my son to it. It's only an hour and 18 minutes long, so definitely probably want to go to a matinee because that's pretty short for the ungodly ticket prices we have. But I don't see it. I don't think I even see it breaking the top five, but it's a kids movie. No real kids movies come out in probably 4 weeks. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know anything about it. So, I mean, it's hard to know because didn't, what was it? March of the Penguins do?
What's good? That's a good question. That's a good comparison that I had not even thought of. Let's click over there and see what March of the Penguins opened at.
Well, you don't want to take their opening because they opened in 4 theaters. But
well, they're wide. The wide release. Their
weekend was $4 million.
Yeah, $4.3 million.
So it did well over the long run, but not necessarily African. African Cats opened at $6 million in 1,200 theaters.
That's something, I guess.
Well, I mean, when you're talking the fifth place movie is at $10 million.
But we're getting three new ones. So at least I imagine the other two movies we haven't talked about yet, they're going to move in the top five.
Yeah.
So that's going to push you. It's going to push everything down at least two spots, which would be Cabin in the Woods, which was at 14. So, I mean, if Cabin in the Woods drops 50%, that'd put it at 7. So that'd be striking range for March of the Penguins if it does. Sorry. You can't see if it does really well.
It's probably not entirely stupid to do it, but it's probably not. I would call that a definite safety pick, I think.
Yeah. I think leaving Chimpanzee off is just good sense, I think. Yeah. So, you're a big Nicholas Sparks fan, aren't you?
Oh, can't get enough.
Ooh, so you're excited then.
Yeah.
You are ridiculous. So yet another movie has been.
Hooray, Nicholas Sparks.
Yet he's a good looking man, though. Yet another Nicholas Sparks book has been turned into a movie, following in the footsteps of such winners as Walk to Remember, The Notebook, Knight's Rodanthe, Dear John, The Last Song, and Message in a Bottle. We get The Lucky One. Now, this trailer started out pretty well, I thought. They were in Iraq. There were helicopters, armored personnel, carriers, guns, explosions. Things went a little weird when he came back to the States, though.
Yeah, then he got all creepy. Then there's a lot of sex scenes, but it's PG-13, so you know you're not going to get any nipples. So.
No, you're not going to get anything too revealing.
The best you're probably going to get is a lot of naked man ass, and really...
Yeah, if I can't see a guy going full frontal, what's the point? Seriously. But it's opening in 3,155 theaters. I only assume that it's going to do well. I believe The Last Song opened around $16 million when it came out. So it's a contender for first, in my opinion.
The Vow opened for $41 million.
Holy cow. Is that one of his?
No, but it was a romantic what have you.
Oh, right. There was romance in the movie.
Yeah. I think.
you never saw it, did you?
No.
Neither did I.
The genre for The Vow is romantic drama and memory loss amnesia. Apparently that's a genre, and The Vow is ranked number 3.
I'm going to go ahead and say that all three of these movies, I don't think any of them are intended for us as a demographic.
No. This is not our weekend.
Our weekend is coming soon when The Avengers come out in, 2 weeks?
Yep.
Yes. That will be our time. We will rise again. Wait, that sounds too Southern. That will be our time to see our movies, though. And I can't. Let's just talk about the Avengers now in next week. That's how excited I am for the Avengers, Jonathan.
I have heard from a guy who got a sneak peek. Not like I heard personally, but Ralph Garman on Hollywood Babylon was talking about how he got a screening. Quite enjoyed it.
Oh, I can't tell you. And the crazy thing is, I'm going to be in St. Louis for Fear the Con that weekend. So I'm already thinking because there's a lot of people who apparently can't stay up late and function the next day. Because you talk about going to like a midnight showing Thursday or Friday, and people are like, oh no, if we do that, then, you know, everyone's not going to be able to get up and game the next morning. I'm like,
what is wrong with these people?
I'm up to 1 and 2 in the morning a lot. For various reasons, and I do okay the next day. I may just stockpile some sleep and stay up late because I don't want to wait until Sunday to see it. I want to see it.
The whole point of a con is to be sleep deprived while gaming. Like, you do ridiculous things with people that you know are your peeps for into ridiculous hours of the night and don't sleep enough and wake up too early. And, you know,
yes, you do ridiculous things like tongue the communal whiskey bottle, for God's sake, because you're with people you're comfortable with.
I didn't tongue it. I chugged from it.
I have reports to the in pictures to the contrary.
No, nobody got a picture of that.
No. That was a couple of years ago. I think BG Meg might have posted something. But anyway, that's beyond the point. I agree with you, though. But apparently a couple of years ago, they did a Watchmen.
Trust me, everyone was too stunned. There are other pictures, but for that one in particular, people were too – they were like, what the hell just happened?
So a couple of years ago, apparently they did a Watchmen midnight release on a Friday night. And then everyone was just wrecked, and which, again, I don't see the problem. But there was lots of complaints.
Well,
so like,
the Watchmen was like 9 hours long.
8.5, I think. But yes, it was a lengthy. Yeah. It was both girthy.
By the time the movie ended, people were already half an hour late for their morning slots. So that I can kind of see.
So...
I don't expect Avengers to be that bad, though, you know, like.
No. No, actually, we can check the running time right now. Let me click off March of the Penguins. Thank you, God.
2 hours, 22 minutes.
That's not bad.
That's entirely manageable. Any geek worth their salt who cannot stay up until 3 in the morning on a con, during a con and still function for the con does not deserve to be there. Seriously,
I agree with you, but I also kind of want to see it because, you know, Aaron Head and folks from my other podcast are going to be there, which is a comic book podcast. So I may end up seeing it Thursday and Sunday.
Because I may go see it Thursday by myself. About seeing it a couple of times.
No, I'm okay with that. But I don't think any of them listen to this, so I may, if everyone's still naysaying going to a midnight showing, I may slip off on my own to go see a midnight showing. Yeah, exactly.
Just tell them it. You have a morality clause.
Andrew, where were you from midnight to 3 in the morning? Morality clause. Morality
clause.
The look on Sam's face when I laid that out at him on Sausage Fest still is one of my treasured memories. There was just this look of astonishment on his face, like he couldn't comprehend. Then he thought about it, and he was like, oh my God. So, yeah. So, Avengers next 2 weekends from now. I, Chris Hemsworth as Thor, Robert Downey Jr. As Iron Man. I just can't wait. Scarlett Johansson as the Black Widow.
Yep.
It's gonna be good.
Well, that's enough talking about the lucky one.
Well, that was a long, comprehensive discussion. we really put some time in on the lucky one.
What that is really is, you know that in the long run, any guy who gets drugged to see this movie, any man who gets roped into being dragged into the theater for this,
or tempted.
That's the thought process that they're going to be having.
Like, man, boy,
Avengers comes out next week. And I'm going to be in Fear the Con. That's going to be going through your head. Like, once the explosions in Iraq are over and then you're dealing with the like abusive boyfriend, husband, weird, not telling you the real story thing that they're doing with this movie. Yeah, that's what everybody is. That's what every single
guy.
Every single guy. And probably a few of the women are going to be doing while they're watching this. Like, man, Avengers is going to be awesome.
Boy, Scarlett Johansson's the Black Widow. Can't wait to see that. What I did write down, because I wrote down, I think I have to say it, that Zac Efron stars as Logan, Taylor Schilling's the female lead, and someone named Blythe Danner is in it as well. So there you go. It's opening in a lot of theaters, $50 a share on HSX. It's, I would say, the hands down favorite to take number one this week, because our last movie we want to talk about, Think Like a Man, which does have a very appealing title. It's based on Steve Harvey's best-selling book, Act Like a Man. Oh, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. Kevin Hart basically stars as a self-proclaimed relationship expert who is quick to dish advice to his friends even as his own marriage falls apart. Tim Story directs with an adapted script by Kevin Merriman and David A. Newman. I chuckled a few times during the trailer.
I heard that.
I don't think I'd ever go see this movie, but I did chuckle a few times during the trailer. You know, it's one of those classic, you got your set of women over there, you got your set of guys over there, and the conflict and hilarity ensues as men and women try to understand each other and optimize their relationships. I don't know. You talk about it. I got nothing on this movie.
I don't know. I have a hard time relating to movies like this because I've kind of, you know, I never really went into the dating scene, so I don't understand that. I don't know anybody that was part of the dating scene. So, like, all of these movies about trying to find that one, like, none of those make any sense to me. Because I'm like, I have no point of reference. I know nobody that is, like, flitting from date to date or that kind of thing. Nobody. So I can't even relate to these movies.
Well, and I spent some time dating, but not too long. And I can honestly say that it seems like the dating circle that they put out here is very much kind of that big city dating type trope you see in things like Sex and the City, where it's a bunch of people out at the club and they talk about the guys they see and the women they see, and you get to see how those relationships work out. And it's not really related to any type of dating scene I ever saw in my the
reality
world
at all.
Maybe I've never lived in a big metropolitan area like New York or you know, Atlanta or anything like that, so maybe that's how it's really like in the big city, but certainly not in my little corner of the world.
Yeah, I don't know. So it could be funny. Steve Harvey's kind of funny.
I like Steve Harvey. There's a great scene about this guy I wanted to get with this other guy's mom. That's always a good laugh. It's always good. That gag is always good for a laugh for me. I take that back. If this is on cable some afternoon when I'm laying around the house, I'd watch this.
Yeah, if I didn't have to work to see it, I probably wouldn't turn it off. But
yeah. If I was sitting at my desk working on some modeling or painting or something, and it was on, you know, Instaflix, I'd throw it on.
I don't know if I'd even go so far as to select it from a list of things, but if I'm watching, if I'm at the most likely scenario in which I will see this movie is if I'm at my father-in-law's house and he's decided to watch it for some reason.
Yeah. So think like a man. There it is. After what we've just said, I don't know what else we could say. We might catch it on cable someday. We're not opposed to it, but it sounds like neither is interested in actively seeking it out.
I just don't actively want to go for it. That's all.
It made me laugh a couple points, but made me chuckle in the trailer. But yeah, do you know who's in the Avengers?
Chris Hemsworth.
Yes. And also probably Samuel L. Jackson. Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury, man, is the ultimate Nick Fury. We've only gotten little teases of him, you know, kind of usually towards the end of each of the other movies, although he was in Iron Man 2 a little bit more, but he shows up for a few enigmatic moments, and that's all we've gotten. So looking forward to a little more Samuel L. as Nick Fury.
Gotta love the Banff.
Hey, what's the over-under on him saying... What's that? What's his catchphrase?
I'm tired of these snakes. Or
no, it's the word I don't want to say because I don't want to bleep it. Oh. But you know what?
Mother, shut your mouth.
Something like that. Yeah. There's an M and there's an F in the middle.
I wouldn't count on it because it's a PG-13 movie. You can drop. Thanks to the whole bully scandal, I know that you can drop one F word and still get a PG-13. If you drop more than one F word, you get an R. Bully got a pass for three F words because of whatever, so that's now a PG-13.
Are you talking about Bully the documentary?
Yeah.
That's so weird. I hadn't actually met anyone else who was familiar with it.
But anyway... The point is, I don't think that mother F word, I don't think that that qualifies as one of the F words that you can drop.
I mean, I guess he didn't use it when he was playing Mace Windu either, so yeah. I guess I'll get over it. So there's our three movies.
Yeah, so that derailed a little bit.
No, I think that wrapped up our conversation about Think Like a Man well, because Nick Fury is a man. See that transition?
There you go.
So, picks, I suppose we should talk about our picks. Tony, I do not think we have a call in from Tony yet. My Dropbox is only half updated, but I don't think I've heard anything from him.
And I don't have the backseat box office, or I don't have the backseat producer's Dropbox, so...
Yeah, I will. If he puts them in, we're going to we'll stick them in an appropriate spot. Hell, otherwise they'll be in the show notes. Because ever since we started recording on Thursdays, we do not have a lot of post production time, hours, in fact. Because I'm editing this week and I got to go to bed and go to work tomorrow. So, but Jonathan, with your, or I'm sorry, I called you by the wrong name, Mr. Perfect. I think you get to go first.
That is 3 weeks in a row, you know.
It's ridiculous. I think my best stretch ever was four, 25. But you are burning it up right now.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna. I don't know if it'll work again.
This is a tough week.
Yeah. Well, I do think that this is the week that the Hunger Games finally drops out of first place. I don't think, though, that it's going to be to Think Like a Man. So as much as I don't really want to give this movie credit, I think I have to hand the number one spot to The Lucky One.
Now, are you and Mrs. Holmberg going to head out and see The Lucky One this weekend?
No. Because she hates Nicholas Sparks more than I do.
Good on her. Good on her. You know, I have never met her, but she obviously has good taste.
One of my friends gave her, well, I should say our friends, gave her The Notebook as a gag gift. And got punched for his efforts.
So she was pissed.
Wasn't pleased. She knew what he was doing and got her revenge. I also don't think that Think Like a Man, it's in 2000 theaters. It's, I don't know. There's a chance it could come in second.
You're right. There's a chance.
There's a chance.
There's definitely a chance.
But, you know, I mean, and one thing we haven't really discussed is there are a lot of, you know, African Americans in this movie. It looks like it's pretty well aimed at the black audience.
I would say I feel safe on many levels saying that it has a predominantly African American cast. Yeah. Yes.
So if it follows the trend of recent, you know, like Tyler Perry movies, say, you know, I could see it doing $15 million. Do I think that, I think that's going to be the upper end, though. I think $15 million is going to be the top end of it, and I don't know that it's going to hit that. And with The Hunger Games has been dropping 30-40%. I don't know that The Hunger Games will drop below that 15 million mark. It could, but I don't know that. I think there's a chance, but I'm thinking more like 10 million for Think Like a Man. So I'm going to put The Hunger Games at number 2. And then Think Like a Man at number 3. And then comes The Three Stooges and The Cabin in the Woods.
In that order?
Well, I don't know.
I struggled with those two for more than a little bit trying to figure out. Because I think it's going to be close. I think The Stooges, although they brought in 2.3 more million this weekend, I think it's going to drop quicker than The Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, and I don't know. I heard a lot of buzz about the movie in its first weekend, but I don't know that I've heard a lot of people continuing to go on about it.
I heard several people last weekend talk about how much they enjoyed Cabin in the Woods, but I don't know if it's going to get a bump off the buzz or not for the second weekend.
It doesn't seem like it's sustained. The buzz has sustained itself, you know?
Yeah.
The Hunger Games, part of that is just The Hunger Games is huge, but I also kept hearing about The Hunger Games. People were kept talking about The Hunger Games.
I don't
know if it's for fear of giving away spoilers or what, but it doesn't seem like anybody's talking about The Cabin in the Woods. It's, this movie was great, and then nothing else.
So, well, Josh Whedon did implore both critics and public alike not to give the ending away.
Yeah, and I think that was dumb. I continue to think that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, we were all talking about it last week. He's getting publicity by asking people not to publicize it. that's a type of genius right there.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's, let me click on one other thing real quick just to see. Yeah, I think I'm going to put, much as I don't really want to, but it's the American public, and I think I'm going to put The Three Stooges at number 4 and Cabin in the Woods at number 5. And holy crap, Box Office Mojo has Think Like a Man at number 1 with $26 million.
Well, that's not where I put it, but
how do they come up with that number?
I don't know. I don't play that close of attention to their whatever they call that column they come out with every week.
That's going to be, that will be interesting to see how that pulls off. Anyway, so that doesn't change my picks. I'm going to stick with those.
Well, and of course, there's always the chance that chimpanzee could sneak in at number five as well.
Chimpanzee could sneak in at number five. I don't deny that, but I don't know. I feel like it's safer to not put chimpanzee on my list.
No, I'm doing the same thing. I'm leaving it off as well. I just thought it was probably worth our listeners' time to mention that we think it could sneak in. Yeah.
I mean, if Cabin in the Woods drops 50-60%, if the Three Stooges drops 50-60%, that could put either of them around that 6 million mark, which apparently animal documentaries make. So,
well, you know, Sunday is Earth Day.
That's great.
Well, you know, I hadn't realized it until just a minute ago, but Disney has been putting out movies in conjunction with Earth Days for this is the fourth year they've done it. The first one was called Earth, then they did Oceans. Then, as you mentioned earlier, they most recently did African Cats. And then this year is going to be Chimpanzee.
Yep.
So my picks. We turn away from that. just this gripping insight there, obviously. I also put The Lucky One at number one. I did not think that Think Like a Man would make 26 million as apparently Box Office Mojo does, but I did think Like a Man would come in number two. I do think it'll probably be at Hunger Games this week.
Yeah,
so I put, and you yourself just talked about kind of your thought process going in between those two for two and three. So I got Think Like a Man at number two. I've got The Hunger Games. No, I think that's the one. Sure. Well, maybe not. So number three, I got The Hunger Games. I was like, boy, I'm smoking crack. I just said how that's a toss-up. What am I doing? Where am I? Why do I smell toast? Why is my wife making toast? I don't know. Number four, and this was, the Three Stooges Cabin in the Woods debate. I think I'm going to have to agree with you on this one and go with the Three Stooges at number four and the Cabin in the Woods at number five. Sorry, Josh. I love you. Call me. That's about it. So if Tony's picks are get in time, we will put them here. If he doesn't get them in, we'll just keep talking about them.
If he doesn't get them in, there will be an awkward silence.
Followed by me saying those words. So actually, you know what? I'm probably going to cut it so that the first thing they hear after they, if Tony's picks don't come in after I say that, is you laughing. Perfect. Thank you. So anyway, now I'll say, I know you're busy with video games. I know you don't go to the movies a lot. Have you been to the movies lately?
I have not been to the movies lately. Shockingly. I did see, oh crap. What did I see recently? We bought the Muppets.
Oh, Tony. I remember Tony really enjoyed the Muppets, and my son and wife really enjoyed the Muppets. What do you think?
I enjoyed it. It wasn't. I think it made me just want to go back and watch the original Muppet movie more. But
yeah.
I liked the callbacks, and I liked how self-aware it was, and I thought it was clever. Jack Black plays a part in it, and he's pretty hilarious. It's not really a spoiler to say they I don't know, maybe it is. Screw it. One way or another, you're warned. In order to be able to put on their show, the Muppets have to have a celebrity host. And so they try and they try and try and get somebody to do it, and then finally Miss Piggy just kidnaps him. So through the whole show he's screaming, I am not okay with this. I am not here willingly, and it gets everybody just is finds it even more entertaining.
Everybody thinks he's doing a bit.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. So yeah, that was, I think that was the last movie I watched.
I can honestly say I'm also in a bit of a drought lately. In fact, I have, oh, God bless me. I think the last movie I saw in the theaters was Ghost Rider.
Wow.
Ghost Rider apparently turned me off movies in the theater. Ghost Rider 2 apparently turned me off movies because, man, that was bad. And I really like Ghost Rider 1. That second was just so bad.
I heard talk of Ghost Rider 3.
Nicolas Cage is involved. I'm sure he can get it done somehow because God knows people like throw money away on him, which is sad because he used to be one of my favorite actors. But after things like Season of the Witch, Ghost Rider 2, Bangkok Dangerous, I think I'm just done. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't think of the next good movie. The last good movie that Nicolas Cage has been in. Con Air? I don't know. Ghost Rider 1, probably. That I watched.
What about Drive Angry?
I did not see Drive Angry. It did not appeal to me. So that would have been back on February 17th. So it's been 2 months since I've probably seen a movie in the theater. That is shocking. But hey, Avengers comes out next week.
and then let's not forget Battleship.
Oh. You know what I'm more interested in than Battleship?
At everything on the planet?
Yes, but more specifically...
Anything by Nicholas Sparks?
Actually, I'm more interested in Nicholas Sparks than Battleship. If you were going to handcuff me and say, Andrew, we're going to make you watch either The Lucky One or we're going to make you watch this other... God, I just had a stroke, I swear to God. Where was I going with that?
Battleship. We're going to make Thank you watch you. Battleship.
Thank you. I see. I dislike the movie so much, I'm trying to erase it from my memory. Every time I hear it, it's like I hear it for the first time. I shrivel up inside. I do not want to see that movie. I'll take The Lucky One any day of the week. And so would you.
No.
Really? You'd pick Battleship.
I would pick Battleship.
Oh, man.
It would at least be entertaining in how terrible it is. Like, I could at least collect solace in tearing it apart.
I guess, man. I don't know. I'm not a masochist, apparently, like you are. I'll take The Lucky One. But okay. No, more specifically, next weekend.
How is that not masochist?
Either
one of these is masochistic, man.
at least there's like explosions and gunfire. There's giant white pegs and red pegs falling from the sky. It's horrible. No, but next week on the
explode. Anyway,
I guess do they?
Yes.
Okay. So next weekend
is a Michael Bay film for his.
Ooh, I think you just insulted Michael Bay, which is hard to do. So next weekend, The Raven from Relativity Pictures comes out, which is great on two levels. One, it's a Relativity picture out there to thwart me. And two, it's got John Cusack starring as H.P. Lovecraft. No, that's not right. Not Lovecraft. Poe. Edgar Allan Poe. I've been reading too much Atomic Robo. Really, starring really as Edgar Allan Poe.
Just... stroked out on us here, haven't you?
I really have. It got to be 10:45 and I was just done. No, it's he plays Edgar Allan Poe and basically it's the idea of the copycat killer back in Victorian England, and this guy is recreating the murders from Poe's books, and so I'm assuming it's Scotland Yard pulls John Cusack in to consult on the cases. That actually I'm kind of interested in seeing. I'm guessing you are not.
It really doesn't matter whether I am or not because I won't. So
that's fair. Now, are you going to go see the Avengers in the theater?
Maybe.
That's a good answer. That's about the best I could expect, I think.
there's a chance, but...
Now, do you have love for Men in Black?
Yeah, but man, that is a creepy mustache. That, like, I I cannot take the trailer seriously because of Will Smith's mustache. I don't know that I can deal with an entire movie featuring Will Smith's mustache. I mean, holy hell, it's just, it's there. There's a, that's a mustache.
Oh, dude, it's out there.
Dude is rocking a mustache, and he shouldn't. There are some people that shouldn't rock the mustache. I know, because I'm one of them.
I typically feel like most of a lot of the people I know with mustaches resemble, or at least appear to be, people that should be starring in amateur porn. that's why it's called the porn stash. I've never actually grown out just a mustache alone, so I have no idea. I'm sure I'd look horrible, though.
I try.
Which is why I've never tried.
Well, yeah. I tried it because I don't grow the facial hair very quick.
Yeah.
So I did, at one point, I was like, I think it was like No Shave November or something. Or no, I was doing it for, I was like, I am going to do a Cinco de Mustache. And I am going to start in March. So I start in March and I don't shave for all of March and April. And you know the mustaches that the guy, have you seen The Creep, do The Creep, the music video? You know the mustaches they have?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even manage to pull off one of those. I shaved because I'm like, this is not going to work. But like, all right, it's Cinco de Mustache. I will shave and see what happens. Shaved everything but the mustache. I looked like a pedophile. And my wife wouldn't let me into the bed. She wouldn't let me anywhere near her. And when I tried to go to bed, she's like, no, you have to shave off the mustache. You cannot come to bed until you shave off the mustache. It was terrifying.
You know, honestly.
So Will Smith looks better than that with the mustache, but.
Yeah, but not good.
Not good.
Not good.
He looks like he's 95 and from like trying to be Tom Selleck and failing.
Oh, okay. No. Well, failing. There you go. Because I was going to say Tom Selleck had a proud, majestic stash. Yeah. I mean, you could ride that thing down to the store and back. That, woo. I can only imagine. I'm sure Tom Selleck got around a bit back in the, what was that, early 80s? I'm sure that stash saw some things.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it looks like Will Smith wants to be Tom Selleck, but can't.
In fact, when you talk about good mustaches, the only one that I can think of that pops to mind is Tom Selleck's.
And Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds can pull it off, too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he could.
But then again, Tom Selleck and Burt Reynolds are kind of the same person.
When I was little, I had trouble telling them apart.
Mm-hmm. I still do. You don't really see much of Tom Selleck anymore, do you?
You don't see much of either of them anymore. Oh, and by the way, I'd just like to extend my sympathies to Dick Clark, who passed away earlier this week.
I don't think Dick Clark is the one that needs your sympathies.
It was family, friends, whoever. Apparently had some sort of routine medical procedure and had a heart attack, passed away. I can honestly say that New Year's Eve is not going to be the same.
I never watched Dick Clark's New Year's Eve anyway, so I can't say that.
That's fair. I remember him vaguely from American Bandstand when I was young, but I didn't really enjoy American Bandstand, so I don't have any fond memories of that. But I, because from the time I was like 10 till now, decades later, he was always doing New Year's Eve, and he looks exactly the same.
Oh, yeah.
For like all those years, didn't really change how he looked. So, and I hadn't heard he was in bad health, and it doesn't really sound from what I've read that he was in bad health. Just one of those things.
Yeah. He was the man that never aged. Unlike his cohort, what's his name?
Oh, yes. Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon got old.
They did that blooper show together, didn't they?
They did the blooper show. They did, I don't know if Ed McMahon roped Dick Clark ever into the Publishers Clearing House sweepstakes thing. I think they did that together for a while, but they were a team.
What was the name of that blooper show? It's okay.
Actually, I think that might be part of it. It was like
TV bloopers?
Yeah, something like that.
To the Googles.
Ed McMahon bloopers. TV's bloopers and practical jokes.
Ah, practical jokes. That's right. And then was Ed McMahon the guy who did the American Talent Show?
I don't know about that.
Okay. I just remember there was a show when people come out and do things and they got stars, depending on how well they did. And there was a panel of judges. And this is all stuff I vaguely remember from my childhood watching my parents watch. Star Search, there it is. The original version of the talent show Star Search from 1983 to 1995. All right. Yeah, so until next week, we'll see you in the back seat.
It's where it's better. I am now.
Just making sure one of us is. Crap. Tony, you know, this is the first time in 83 episodes Tony hasn't been here to enter the show.
No.
How does he do it? It's just, welcome to Backseat Box Office. My name is, and then we go with it.
No, it's, hey, this is Tony. And then we're the Backseat Producers.
And this is Backseat Box Office.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Taking away the game.
Okay. All right, here we go. You ready?
Yep.